Hey, does anybody here today need God to answer a prayer? Anybody need a prayer answered? I know I have some prayers that I'm asking God to answer right now. I'm praying with some parents who are wanting for their child to desperately experience peace and rest. And so I'm praying with them, asking God to intervene and to move. I'm praying with a friend of mine who texted yesterday and said, my father-in-law needs a medical miracle. And so I'm praying with him desperately. I'm praying with my niece, my wife's sister's daughter, 29 years old, wife, child. She has a child who is almost 2 years old, and this week she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and there's some cancer, it looks like, in her lymph nodes. And so our family is desperately praying. I'm praying for some friends of mine who are looking for jobs. And so I'm praying. I don't know, you praying for anything? Is anything on your mind or your heart where you just need God to move? You need God to answer you, right? Okay, is anybody praying for a breakthrough? Anybody here praying just for your sanity? Anybody praying for their sobriety? Maybe you need God to move. Listen, Pine Lake is a church that believes in the power of God to answer our prayer. Not the power of prayer. The power's not in the prayers, okay? Or else you'll put too much emphasis on the words you say. The power is in Jesus, okay? The power's in Jesus, but Jesus answers when we pray. And so we're learning to be a family of prayer. It's part of the foundation of this church family. If you like to pray, you're going to like it here. If you don't like to pray, you're going to have to learn to like it, because that's what we're going to do. We pray. The month of February, we ask you to pray for 28 straight days about one thing. We have these things called the gathering, where we learn to pray together. And there'll be one coming to your campus in the month of September, and I want to encourage you to be there. You'll learn how to pray. We pray at our services, before our services, after our services, in the commons. We want to learn to pray at Walmart and Target and at school and all these places. We want to be a people of prayer. This past week, our staff covered Monday through Friday, 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. We each took an hour and prayed for you. Prayed for you, college students. Prayed for you going to work, at wherever you go to work. Prayed for you, stay-at-home mamas. Prayed for you, coaches and teachers. We prayed that God would sustain you and help you, because we believe God answers whenever we pray. Now, the Bible says a lot about prayer. It says pray without ceasing. It says pray about everything. It says you do not have because you do not ask, right? Ask. Ask God. As a matter of fact, Jesus made this promise in Matthew 7, verse 7. This is what it says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you, for everyone. Everybody say everyone. I wanted you to say that, because some of you think God won't answer you, but the promise of God, the Word of God says everyone. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. The key is to learn how to ask, seek, and knock the way God has called you to do it, okay? Because that's the promise of God. If that's the promise of God, isn't it good to know that no matter how difficult the trial or disappointing the news or how desperate the situation, that God is still on the throne and everything is under his control and you can see God move? Come on, do you need that today? Do you need God to move on your behalf? Most of us would say, yeah, I think God can, but I just don't see God answer much. All right, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I do know that there are a lot of folks at all of our campuses, no matter where you are, if you're listening on the podcast right now, listen, there's a part of us which struggles to believe that prayer really works. We've fallen into this trap of thinking that somehow prayer is just empty religion. You know, I mean, what we say is pray like everything depends on God, and then work like everything depends on you. And we get that half right. We don't half pray, but we do go to work like everything depends on us, and it wears you out. Some of you think prayer is just wishful thinking. You know, it's a Hail Mary of sorts. You know, it's a last-ditch effort. And so you say, please, 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 God, let me win the Powerball or kill a buck or make a putt or get a date. Some of y'all are really praying that right now, right? It's just wishful thinking. God, please, against all odds. Or maybe for you, prayer is just trying to get God to do what he clearly does not want to do in your life. That's the way you view prayer. God's not for me, like we just sang a moment ago. You don't believe that. You think God somehow is against you, and so your prayer life is you trying to get God to do what God doesn't really want to do. Now, if you wonder if that's the way you pray, let me tell you here two telltale signs that you're praying with that mindset, that you're trying to get God to do what God doesn't want to do. Number one, if you do all the talking. In your prayer life, if you're doing all the talking, then you're selling, okay? Number two is if If the answer to prayer is only going to be what you want and you're not willing to accept whatever God gives, then you're praying that way. You don't want to pray anymore if God's not going to give you what you want, okay? Those are wrong views of prayer, and those are some of the reasons why maybe your prayers are not being answered. And I know I'm talking to some folks. Listen, out here it's all good and it's all awesome, and your Instagram's awesome and your Snapchat is off the chain and all this stuff. But on the inside, you're dying. And I'm saying to you, normal life is not working for you. At this house, we believe in a God who loves us and moves when we call out to him and say, God, help us. Okay? So I want you to hear and receive what we're saying today. I'm not asking you just to sit here in church and pass the next 30 minutes. I'm saying, come on, church. God wants to speak into your life right now. What is prayer that really works powerfully? Here's what I'm learning, four things about prayer that really sees God move. Prayer is basically partnership with God. Prayer is about partnering with God, that there's a God in heaven who wants to do things on the earth, and listen, he can do it without us, but he chooses to work through us. He wants to bring love through us. He wants the Jesus-centered life to bring the kingdom through us. He wants the Great Commission to be fulfilled through us and us tell people about Jesus, but he wants prayers to be answered. He wants to move supernaturally, but he chooses to use you. Have you ever thought about the fact that you are actually a conduit between heaven and the things of this earth, and that God is wanting to partner with you? You receive things from God, and then you begin to pray them onto the planet, okay? Prayer is about surrendering to God. Secondly, it's about partnering with God. Secondly, it is about surrendering to God. You don't do all the talking when you pray. This is a revelation for some of y'all because you think you're the only one who talks. Prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is about surrendering to God. And I can tell God, you can tell God whatever you want to tell him. You can tell him you need an A on the test. You can tell him you need to get into med school or dental school or occupational therapy school. You can tell him all that stuff. You can tell him you need bread on the table. You can tell him you need, you know, whatever. You can tell him that. But true prayer is about listening to God and surrendering to him and saying, God, what do you want? Didn't Jesus teach us to pray this way? Didn't Jesus model this kind of praying? Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Okay? He's surrendering to the Father, and so the Father could strengthen him and help him. True prayer is about surrender. True prayer, then, is about, thirdly, listening to God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you're praying now, partnering with God, surrendering to God. What do you want to do? God, talk to me. God, is there something that I'm missing? God, is there something that is better that I need to be praying? Listen, we start off praying what we want. But I'm saying to you, what we're learning as a faith family, right, is that prayer is about learning to partner with God, surrender to God, listen to God, and say, God, what do you want? God, is there something that I need to pray that I'm not seeing? God, is there more going on that I'm not aware of? God, would you speak to me? And listen, we believe the Holy Spirit does speak to us. God does speak primarily through this book, through the Word. It's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and by his Holy Spirit presence within us, a still small whisper, a sense of leading or inclination. Prayer is listening, and fourthly, prayer is then releasing from God what he speaks to you. When you sense that God is saying, pray this way or pray that way, then you start to pray like God said for you to pray. God, I just declare your love over that situation. God, I just release your authority and God, your protection in that moment. God, I pray, would you just turn their heart toward you? God, I pray that their faith would be strengthened, not that they would be physically healed, but that they would be spiritually healed. You get it? So if you want to learn to pray like that, if you want to learn how to pray more, I want to encourage you to come to the gathering next month at your campus. Come, we're going to learn how to pray in that way. All right? We're going to practice and learn how to pray like that. Now, in the book of Acts today, I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 12 because I want you to see how a church began to pray with power. They began to pray. Jesus had taught the disciples to pray. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to pray like we should. He said, all right, here's how you pray. And he taught them, and then they modeled it. When he was in heaven, the disciples on the earth began to practice prayer like Jesus. And by prayer, people were healed. Judas's replacement was chosen. Lies were exposed. A persecutor named Saul was converted. Peter raised a dead woman back to life. But in Acts chapter 12, they came to a desperate moment. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, the scripture says this. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. We would say persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, which means a lot of people were in town. When he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. Let me set the table for you. Herod is a power-hungry king. He has been told that these Jewish, these Christians are causing trouble. So he has James, the brother of John, put in prison and then executed. And he was surprised at the bump in the polls that he got. Everybody liked him. He said, well, let's do that again. And so with so many people in town for the feast, he arrests Peter and he's going to put Peter in prison too. And so Peter is waiting till the feast is over with because you couldn't kill anybody during the feast. But after the feast, Peter's probably going to be executed. So in that moment, the Bible tells us, Acts chapter 12, verse 5, here's what the church began to do. It says, so Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Now we're going to look at this verse a lot today, but this is what happens. Peter's in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. They had no recourse. They couldn't appeal the decision of the king. The king had autonomy. So they do the only thing they know left to do, and that is to call out to God for a miracle, and God answers. Now listen, if you need a miracle, if you need God to answer, here's how you learn to pray, okay? I want to give you five things about prayer. Number one, desperate prayer is prayer to God. Okay, so if you're a note taker, desperate prayer is prayer to God. Verse 5, let's look at it again. It says, so Peter's kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church. Look, to God. You're probably thinking, well, who else would they be praying to? Come on, we pray to a lot of folks. Sometimes we pray for other people's ears. Anybody know what it feels like when you're praying for other people to hear you? Some of you are self-conscious about praying because you say, I don't know how to pray and I don't want people to hear me. You're not talking to them. But sometimes I find myself battling that. A guy who has mentored me and taught me a lot about prayers, a guy named Fred Hartley. And whenever he was teaching us to pray, if you started praying something that really started resonating with him that he thought was good, he would go, that's a good one. So you're praying and no Fred's over there, that's a good one. And if you really started hitting on something, he'd start snapping. You're praying, he's snapping. That means, man, God's really on to something. And I found myself at times praying until I could make Fred say, that's a good one. Come on, don't judge me. Don't hate. Y'all do the same thing, right? I'm just telling you, you can do that. Sometimes you can just be praying to yourself. All right, you're talking. You're not even aware that God's around you, but you're praying, right? You're not talking to God. You're just talking, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Prayer is being made to God. And that's what I want you to lock your mind in on today, that when we're partnering with God, we are focusing on God, and our God is able. Our minds and our hearts and our faith are in him and on him. So often our prayers lack power because you elevate the size of your problem, right? Come on now, feel me. How big it is, oh, how bad it is, and how desperate it is, and how impossible it is. And so our mind is wrapped up with the problem. But powerful prayer starts with you getting your eyes off the problem and focusing them on the size of and the goodness of your God. Jesus prayed like that too. Right before he multiplied the fishes and the loaves, which was a miracle, right? A miracle. This is what the Bible says he did. Mark 6:41. And he took the five loaves and the two fish and, check this, looking up toward heaven, he blessed them. We blow past that detail, but I want you to slow down right now. Come on, slow down with me and see that before Jesus did the miracle, before the Father multiplied the fish and the loaves and he could pass them out, Jesus said, I need you. And this is meager, but you're bigger. Eyes on the Father, all right? John 11, Jesus' best friend, one of his best friends, Lazarus, has died. How many of you know that's a problem when your friend's dead? And he's been dead for 4 days. And the Bible says that everybody was saying, look, he stinks by now. But Jesus says, I want to raise him from the dead. But before he does that, John 11:41 says, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You understand? The dead man's right there. We would be talking about how bad it is. And, oh, God, he's been dead for 4 days. And, Lord, he stinks by now. And I don't know how we're going to get all that wrapping off. And, Lord, I can't hold my breath that long. And all that stuff that we would be worried about. And Jesus is not studying that. He lifts his eyes to heaven. Come on, when was the last time You stop telling God about how big the problem is and started telling your problem how big God is. Come on, my God. My God is bigger. My God is able. I'm not talking about manufacturing faith and I got to feel some faith. No, I'm talking about literally through the word of God and the things you know about God and the things he's done, lifting your eyes up to God and say, there is nothing impossible with you. There's nothing impossible with you. Prayer is being made to God. How many of y'all ever had your mama, you said something smart and she said, you better remember who you're talking to, boy. Come on, anybody? Anybody have a coach or a teacher say, hey, you better check yourself. You're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. When you pray, when was the last time you checked yourself to say, man, I'm not talking to a God who's overwhelmed. I'm talking to the God of creation who can do all things. Come on, Pine Lake, can we have faith in a God that big who can do anything? He's all powerful. He can do anything exceedingly abundant beyond all you ask or think, and he is loving toward you. If you don't believe God's loving toward you, just look at the cross. That is God becoming one of us, a man, humble to the point of service, humble to the point of death, to lay down his life for you. And the Bible says, if he gave his son and didn't spare him, how will he not also give you everything else you need? Okay, so come on now. Some of you are struggling. You're thinking, God's not for me. God's not able. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. And you've got to start saying to yourself, that's a lie. I'm taking that thought captive. Enemy, you got to shut up. World, you got to shut up. God, you are able. You are big and you are good. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to talk to you. Okay? Powerful prayer is prayer to God. Secondly, desperate prayer, powerful prayer is prayer that is specific. Okay, not praying about everything, but praying about one thing. Verse 5 again says, so Peter's in prison, but prayer for him. All right, don't miss it. Prayer for him. That little prepositional phrase is clarifying what they're praying about. They're not praying about everything. They're not praying for all the missionaries all around the world. They're not praying about Aunt Edna's gallbladder surgery next Thursday. And Lord, we just guide those doctors. Nothing wrong with that prayer, but we're not praying that prayer right now. Okay, somebody feel me? We're not praying that prayer right now. Right now, what we're talking about is Peter's in trouble. All of our energy is focused on praying for Peter. One thing. What I'm talking about is the difference between a light bulb versus a laser light. There's a difference, right? Think about it. There's a difference in terms of the coverage. A light bulb covers a lot of stuff, right? You can see a lot of things when a light bulb is turned on, but a laser light is one beam focused at one thing, okay? The power of it, the efficiency of a light bulb versus a laser is very, very different. A light bulb will light up a lot of stuff, and it puts off a little bit of heat, but it loses so much of its power by the heat radiating out. A laser, on the other hand, focuses its energy, and it's so powerful that it can cut steel or burn things or even put your eye out. Okay, do you understand that whenever you pray general prayers, you just kind of get general answers? And I'm not hating on anybody, but this is the way most of us learned how to pray. Dear God, I just pray that you would forgive me for all my sins. And God, just be with us today and help us, Lord, and be with our family. And God, just help us to have a good day. And Lord, I just pray for the missionaries around the world and all the sick people. Just help them to get well. The most specific our prayers ever got is when one of our kids said, God, be with the cat and the dog. And Lord, that chair. Y'all know what I'm saying? Okay, we just pray generally, but I'm telling you what God wants you to learn to do is pray like a laser beam focus about that thing. God wants you to learn to talk to him, partner with him about this one thing. That's why when we pray for the month of February, we call it P28, right? Pray for 28 days of February. When we do P28, we say pray one thing, just one thing, 1 minute a day. Pray one thing. There's power in praying one thing. We don't know what all they prayed about Peter, but they prayed one thing. My guess is they likely may have said, God, would you do it again? Lord, like you were with Daniel whenever he was thrown into the lion's den and should have been dead. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were placed in a fiery furnace, God, and yet your angel was sent to both of them to shut the mouth of the lion and to keep the fire from burning them. God, do it again. Maybe they prayed, God, do it again, because in Acts chapter 5, Peter and all the apostles were thrown in prison for preaching, and the Bible says that during the night, God sent an angel, opened up the prison doors, and they all walked out, and the angel said, y'all go preach some more. I ain't through yet, okay? Maybe they're praying, God, do that thing again. I'm saying to you, when you learn to pray specifically and powerfully, you start to pray, God, do it again on this thing. God, do it again. God, move with power. Powerful prayer is specific. Thirdly, it's intensity. It's intense. Desperate prayer is intensive prayer. Again, verse 5. Peter's kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently. Do you see that? Fervently. Do you know what that means? Not, it's not a test. To pray fervently means, the Greek word means to be stretched out, to be laid out, like you were laid out to catch a fly ball, okay? Like you're holding nothing back. It can speak of intensity and exertion, but it can also speak of duration, okay? It can speak of intensity as in terms of exertion or duration. I think it can affect your posture. It may mean that you fall out on your face and pray. But can I just say that just because you're on your face doesn't mean you're desperate. Sometimes you pray on your face and you go smooth asleep. Okay? All right? Sometimes you're praying on your knees and you're just wondering, I should have prayed when somebody else was home to get me up off the floor because I can't get up now. My knees are hurting, right? Your mind can be, you can have the posture but still not be desperate. It's about your posture, but it's about your attitude. God, I need you. God, I need you to move. And it's about your energy level and your intensity. These people had one thing on their heart. They're begging God. They care about this deal. They are not going to get easily distracted. They're giving themselves to this task of prayer all night long. This is, please hear me, this is not a drive-by praying. Okay? Y'all know what that is. That's whenever you kind of throw right by God and say, hey, God, I need that help. And then you go on about your business. This is not, hey, God, you know, if you have time, and then you go on about your deal. This is hunkered down. How many of y'all know what hunkered down means? This is, I'm hunkered down. I am locked down. God, this is the thing that is consuming me right now. And the problem is no longer going to consume me. You are going to consume me. And conversation with you is going to consume me until something happens. Praying with intensity requires repetition and perseverance. It's you surrendering to the Spirit and saying, Spirit, talk to me. Show me how to pray. Men, any of y'all ever chopped down a tree with an axe? We don't do it that way anymore. We call somebody to come cut the tree down for us. Or if you have your own power tools, you cut it with a chainsaw. But can any men ever chop down a tree with an axe? Anybody out there ever chop down a tree with an axe? I'm not talking about a little sapling you go through with a machete. I'm talking about chopping down a tree with an axe. Come on, you know how that works, right? We hit it over here for a little while. And then we got to go over here and hit it on this side for a little while. I'm like, daggone. Come back, hit it over here for a little while. Go around here on this other side and hit it over there for a little while. Come on, somebody, some man up in here, I need you to hear me right now. Y'all know what it's like to chop down a tree over and over and over and hit it from this side, hit it from that side, hit it from this side, hit it from that side, rest, catch your breath, rest, catch your breath, hit it some more, rest, catch your breath, hit it some more, hit it some more. When do you pray like that? When have you prayed that way, men? About one thing. We want God to zap the prayer answer, just boom. I just drove by and bam, he delivered on the drive-through window on the way out. Hallelujah. And I love it when he does. But a lot of times prayer is not that way. Powerful prayer is going to take you manning up, gentlemen, and saying, I will not let go. I will continue to whack this thing until God moves. It's intense prayer. It's intensive. Number four, it includes other people. Intensive prayer, desperate prayer includes other people, right? Verse 5 again. So Peter's kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church. By the church. Yes, there are individuals praying, but here we have a collection of people. The church is praying together. The group has gathered in a house and they're there together to lift up that one thing. And so all of them together praying. There was power whenever you pray together. And the church had learned this. They had seen it since Acts 1. They had watched how God would move. So Peter's in prison and it's desperate on that side of town. But here we are on this side of town, gathered together to say, God, hear us. God, hear us and move. God wants us to pray for one another. Please hear me. God wants us, Pine Lake family, to learn to pray with one another. He wants you to learn to pray with somebody else, to get into agreement with them, to cover each other, to come and bind our hearts together, to learn to pray, and for all of us to pray together out loud. I know that freaks you out. Man, preacher, I just don't think I can pray out loud. Yes, you can. You really can. All you got to do is let what's in here start coming out of your throat with some air and over your tongue and your lips, and you can just speak it out. And don't worry about what everybody else is saying, hearing, or thinking. You just speak to God. And we begin to pray. Can I give you some verses about praying together? 2 Chronicles 7:14. This was a call for the whole nation to pray together. And my people, all of us, called by my name, if they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That could have been true for each individual, but God was calling on them all to pray together as what we would call the church. It was a nation for them, but we would say all the people of God. Matthew 18, Jesus made this promise. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Jesus made a promise. Get you a prayer partner, get you a prayer warrior, and begin to pray with that person. Pray as a church. Pray just two or three of you are in a small group. Listen, there's power in that. We need to learn to pray as a church family. You need to learn to pray with your business partner about your business. You need to pray with some of the teachers about your students. You need to begin to pray with your spouse or with your mom and dad or your kids about what's going on in the house. All right? There's power in learning to pray out loud together. God does something when you pray. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you can be healed. The implication is healing's not coming until you say, man, I need you to pray with me about something. And a brother or a sister covers you in prayer. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's why you need to be, listen, you need to be in a small group. You need to be in a group of people who are covering you. You need to not wait on a desperate time in your marriage or an affair or some desperate time in your family before y'all start praying out loud. Start today. Praying together. I was affected years ago by a book by Jim Cimbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Pastor Cimbala wrote a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And he has been at Brooklyn Tabernacle for a long, long time and over the years has established that that's just a house of prayer. And if you ever get to go there on a Sunday, it's awesome for worship, but on Tuesdays when you want to go, that's when they have prayer meeting. Thousands of people gathered in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Tabernacle to pray. And he talked about, and I'd never heard of this kind of thing, but he talked about a church that would get together and they would pray together for one thing sometimes. And so he talked about this guy who was battling with a drug addiction, and yet he had a family member who came to the gathering, and somehow that word got to Pastor Cimbala, and Pastor Cimbala said, listen, tonight I want us just to lift up, and they called the guy's name out. So all over the room, thousands of people are lifting up this guy by name. Just so happens he's walking by outside on the street of Brooklyn, hears his name, walks inside, and all these people are praying for him, and it became a night of breakthrough for him because there's power when people pray together. Okay? The most powerful story in that book was the story that Pastor Cimbala told about his daughter, Chrissy, who raised in a preacher's home, but found herself in a place of rebelling against what God had spoken through her parents and through the ministry. And listen, can I just say to you, preacher's kids are no different from your kids. They face the same temptations. They got to find their own faith too. And so Chrissy decided she would run away from home in New York City. And so for days on end, she was gone. And Pastor Cimbala and his wife, Carol, were at their wits' end. They're frantically praying, but on the outside, they're not telling everybody what's going on. They're just praying desperately, but their closest friends knew. And so on a Tuesday night, they're at prayer gathering, and one of the friends walks up and says, Pastor, we need to pray for Chrissy tonight. And so reluctantly, he says, Church, I need you to pray for my daughter. And so they prayed for her, called out to her by name, for her by name. Now, she didn't walk in the church and, you know, everything get right. She didn't walk in the church that night. But the next morning, she walked into her parents' kitchen and said, Who was praying for me last night? Come on, don't you want to be a part of a church like that? That'll bring a lost child home? That'll take a drunk man and make him sober? Don't you want to be a part of a church family that prays and we call out to God and God begins to supernaturally, unexplainably move? I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about the power of the kingdom of God released through the sons and daughters of God who are just partnering with God, surrendered to the Spirit, listening to what He's saying, and then speaking it out in prayer. Speaking it out. It's happening. It's happening even here as people are praying. I got a handwritten note in the mail, which is old school, right? I got a handwritten note in the mail back in March. Maybe she had read that or heard that I don't really do email, so she sent me a letter. And I got the letter and began to say, all right, God, what do you want to do? I read this letter, and it just talked about the power of effective prayer, okay? Now, that's what she said. Listen, I've been praying. I was praying in the 40 days of prayer, and here's what I prayed. Her name's Beverly. She's from Meridian. She said, listen, I'm a part of the Tuesday morning Pine Lake on the website. Any of y'all members of the Tuesday morning Pine Lake on the website? She has a church in Meridian, but she watches the Tuesday morning podcast in her bathroom. And so she's following along 40 days of prayer. She asked her mama and her sister to pray with her. Mama and her sister pray with her for 40 days. So they begin to pray. And she said that they found that God began to answer some of their prayers. Listen, when you pray together, God begins to answer. She said, we found that we were free from worries that plagued us at night, that we were more appreciative of God's blessings, that we had joy in our hearts, a greater desire to follow Jesus. We had more love in our hearts and less judgment toward other people. In addition, she said, we saw some specific answers to prayers. A leaky pipe my dad had searched for weeks to find was found. A friend addicted to drugs went through rehab and was baptized. A relative who had an alcohol problem got a job and is doing better. A pet chicken is healing from a dog attack, and a dog is healing from a back injury. Don't judge. I'm just reading what she wrote, right? There's nothing too little for God to answer. A friend who has been waiting for a liver transplant for years found a match and received her liver. God's provided opportunities for us to ask God, to ask others to forgive us. Relationships were built and repaired. Most of all, love for God has grown and our awareness of just how good and big He is. Listen, God answers. Verse 5. The church is praying, will God answer? Well, let's go on to verse 6 and see what happens. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter's sleeping between two soldiers. Now, check this. On the night before he's going to be executed, he's sound asleep. He's bound between with two chains, and guards in the front door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side, and he woke him up, and he said, get up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Can I just stop right there and say, how in the world is Peter asleep at this moment? I mean, sound asleep. Flip the lights on, and he don't even know it. Angel has to literally kick him in the side and say, dude, get up. How can he be so zonked out in that moment? Here's how. Sometimes God calms the storm. Other times he just calms his child, right? And the Bible makes a promise to us. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Listen, God will give you peace. Gave Peter peace. And God does bring deliverance. I don't have the time to read verses 8 through 17, but let me tell you what happened. The church is over here praying. Peter's over here in prison. The prayers are going up to God and bouncing off down over here. God's answering. The angel wakes him up. Peter walks, gets up, chains fall off. The door swings open. They walk out past the guards who cannot see them or stop them for whatever reason, past two gates that open for themselves. Peter gets out into the street. The angel disappears. Peter comes to himself and says, I know. Now I know, I think it's verse 11, now I know that God has delivered me. He goes to the house where the prayer meeting is. He knocks on the door. A little servant girl comes to the door. She says, who is it? He said, it's Peter. Let me in. She goes back in and says, hey, Peter's at the door. They say, no, he's not. He's in prison. We're praying God will get him out. How many of y'all know how to, y'all prayed that way, right? Not expecting it to happen. Peter keeps on knocking. Finally, they let him in. And the Bible says they're amazed. They're amazed. But listen, when you pray to a God who can do anything, who can overwhelm your problems, who can open up prison doors and make chains fall off and put people to sleep, who can make them turn the other way and let you walk right on by scot-free, listen, that's the God you're calling to. That's the God you're calling to. Peter later on in 1 Peter 3:12, years later, reflecting maybe on this experience, says, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend their prayer. And God wants to hear your prayers right now, today. And we're going to end this service a little bit differently than what we normally would. Normally, I would say, lead you to pray just a little bit, and then I'd say a prayer, and then we would stand up and respond. But today, I want us to actually practice what I've been preaching. Is that okay? I want us as a church family to pray, to spend the next few minutes praying together, specifically. Okay, so I'm going to ask some friends to join me on the platform, and at your campus there are going to be some of the praise team that will be up there. So here's what we're going to do. Again, by the miracle of technology, all of us at all of our campuses in these next few moments are going to be praying together. Well, preacher, you ain't even here. No, but God's there. God's there. God's right here with us, and he wants to lead you and me right now in this moment to pray together. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us into prayer, and then I'm going to have Matt lead us, and he's going to kind of sing over us. The praise team's going to sing over us. You can sing along if you want to, just a song we were singing earlier, on the earth as it is in heaven. Now lead us to pray a little bit more. We'll sing a little bit more. We're just going to spend a few minutes praying together. Can we do that? Come on, would you just pray right now? Just close your eyes. Maybe if you need to bow your head, that's fine. But would you just do this? Would you just say to God, Lord, I've never thought of myself as partnering with you, but God, prayer is partnering with you. God, you have some things you want to get done on this earth. And God, there's some things I really want you to get done on this earth. So Lord, I want to be a conduit. Would you just pray that? God, I want to be a conduit right now. I just want to be a channel for your will, God, to get done in me and through me and release through the power of prayer. So God, I surrender to you. Would you just surrender everything, your thoughts, your mind, your time, where you're going to go after church, your self-consciousness. Just say, God, I surrender everything about me to you. And I say, your kingdom and your will be done. I want what you want. Would you pray that? Would you pray, God, help me listen. Help me to listen. Holy Spirit, speak to us. So you pray that, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, give me thoughts that come from you and words to say that come from you while we're praying. And then, God, would you help us to release your prayers on this earth? Okay? Now, if at any moment in this prayer time you feel distracted and your mind drifts, would you just say, God, bring me back into alignment with you. God, I want to be back into alignment. I'm going to pray. God, move. God, speak. If at some moment the voice inside your head says, God doesn't listen to you, God doesn't listen to you, then I want you to pray this prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me of my sins, and come into my life and change me. Okay? But for just a moment, can we pray? And here's what I want us to pray. We're going to pray about one thing, right? Here's our one thing we're going to pray about right now, this particular time. I want you to pray for the state of Mississippi. Okay, would you just kind of get the whole state in your mind, kind of see the whole state? God wants the kingdom of God to be released in the state of Mississippi. And so with that in mind, would you pray this prayer? Okay, we're just going to fill in a blank. Would you just say, God, would you let the kingdom come in Mississippi by, and then just fill in that blank. Or God, if your kingdom comes to Mississippi, it'll look like this. And so, God, would you do this? And as the Spirit of God moves you, would you just pray? What would it look like if the kingdom of God came to Mississippi? What would it look like in terms of loving each other? What would it look like in terms of people coming to faith in Jesus? The kingdom of God comes. Come on. The kingdom of God comes. What would it look like in prisons? Would you pray right now just that God would move in the prison ministry that we've kind of adopted for this year, that God would move in prisoners, open up doors for us to walk in and be able to share the love of God? And we need mentors even. Would you pray that God would raise up some mentors? What would it look like for addiction and anxiety and darkness? What would it look like on the college campus and in high schools if young men, young women began to walk in the light of who Jesus says they are? Would you just pray the kingdom come? We're just asking that God would move on earth as it is in heaven.
On the earth as it is in heaven, let it be here with us right now. Where your word is fulfilled and your glory is revealed, let it be here with us right now.
Let your kingdom come across our state, God, and move. Lord, I pray that there would be love, that there would be, God, salvation, and Lord, there would just be faith among us. God, bring your peace. God, bring your wholeness. I want to ask you to pray about something else. I want you to bring it a little bit closer to home, quite literally. I want us, for this next just couple of minutes, I want you to pray about your family or your family unit. If you're not with your family, or if that's not really your kind of closest circle right now, maybe you're in college, you can pray about your fraternity or sorority, brothers and sisters. You can pray about the people in your dorm or the people that are in your apartment, okay? If you're living, you know, out on your own and away from family, then pray about your closest friends. But I want to ask, if the kingdom of God were to come on earth as it is in heaven into our families, what would that begin to look like in your house? Okay, so here's what I want to ask us to do. We're going to cross a threshold. This is going to be different, but listen, normal's not working for most of us, so we're going to do something a little bit different, okay? I'm going to ask everybody, every campus right now, I want to ask you all, would you stand up with me? We're going to pray standing on our feet so you don't fall asleep, so stand up. And I want to ask you, would you just put your head together with your little family group that you may have come to church with? If you came with friends, then you and your friends get together. If somebody came alone and they're beside you, include them, adopt them into your family right now. No orphans, okay? No orphans. Here, we want everybody to have somebody. And listen, I'm going to ask you just to fill in the blank prayer, okay? Just fill it in the blank prayer. Preacher, I just don't know if I could pray. You're just talking to God. Whatever He says, you say, okay? Would you fill in the blank? Just out loud, one at a time, popcorn praying, which means back and forth. You can pray multiple times. Would you just pray, God, in our house or our apartment, God, in our family, would you let your kingdom come? And God, would you fill our house with, pray. Just fill that blank in. God, if you come, you're going to fill our house with, and just pray. God, fill our house with love. Fill our house with peace. Just pray out loud, all around the room, around every room right now. Just whispering your prayers. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. What God says, you speak. If God's kingdom walked into your family, what would He bring? If God's kingdom walked into your fraternity house, what would it look like? If God's kingdom walked into your locker room, what would happen? Come on, pray it. Be a conduit from heaven to earth. God, would you bring your kingdom? Bring your kingdom.
We don't see it.
thank God for families who heard their daddy pray. Maybe for the first time in a long time or ever, I thank God for some families who heard some kids pray with power. And let me tell you what that is. Whenever your family begins to pray together, look, you begin to step into the kingdom of God, and God begins to change things. When you say, we want to partner with you, surrender to you, God, teach us to pray. One last thing we're going to pray for, then we're going to sing one more song, and we're going to be dismissed for the day. But I asked you at the beginning of the message, what do you need God to answer? And you had an answer. You didn't say it, but you had an answer. And so can I just ask you to pray about that thing right now? Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a relationship, but the thing that's bothering and burdening your heart, you're not going to pray with other people, but would you just right now, would you lift that up? Maybe with your for your kids going off to school, maybe it's for your work, your health, an addiction you're battling. Okay, would you just right now, would you just say, God, you are bigger than my problem. Come on, all around the room, every campus right now, pray with me. Pray with me. Listen, this is your moment to see God begin to move. Surrender to God. Would you say, God, how should I pray about this? God, you are able. You are bigger than this. God, show me what to pray. Would you just unburden yourself right now? Unburden yourself. Lift it up. Specifically, fervently focused, expectantly saying, God, bring your kingdom. I'm about to close this time of prayer. You can keep on praying, but we're going to sing one more song where we just say, God, we look back and you've been faithful. God, we look ahead and say you're able. God, we look up and say there's none bigger than you. And so, God, we bow down before you. Just a song of praise, a song of hope. And while we're singing that song, listen, there will be prayer ministers all around this room where you are right now. And if you have, you want somebody just to agree with you in prayer to see God move, I'm going to ask you while we're singing, just step out. Just step out, go to one of those folks and let them pray with you, okay? But could we all across every campus, let's lift up praise. Jesus, we bless you, we believe you, we trust you, we respond to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.